to the Inspired Change Summit, presented by Earth is Waking Up. This is your host, Jeremy Anderson. Today we're going to be talking about boosting our immune systems with a special guest that knows a lot about this stuff, Dr. Tim Jackson. Dr. Tim Jackson, DPT, received his undergrad in health science and chemistry from Wake Forest University in 2003. He completed his doctorate in physical therapy from the Medical University of South Carolina in 2009. Realizing that manual therapy and orthopedic care helped only some of his patients, he began studying functional and environmental medicine, as well as digestive health, in an effort to help others achieve wellness. Dr. Tim is educated in nutritional biochemistry, digestive health, and its systemic effects, as well as functional endocrinology. He recently completed the spine portion of the active release technique methodology, a system that addresses musculoskeletal trigger points and helps to expedite the healing process. He's also a Huffington Post blogger. He's been on the Bulletproof Executive, created the Hormone Bootcamp for Jack Cruz, amongst, and has been on many other radio shows, posted many profound articles. Thanks and welcome and thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Jeremy, thank you for having me on. I look forward to it. I think we'll give away a lot of good information, and I think it's going to be stuff that most people haven't heard of before or haven't heard in this context before.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is because, like some of the other doctors I've had on the show, is that you've been exposed and have a lot of experience around medical that's not mainstream, that you've stepped outside the box and you've trained yourself in so much more than what a typical MD is trained in.
Correct. Yeah, so when I went to undergrad at Wake Forest University, I was always, not to brag, but I always excelled quite well in academia, co-valedictorian in high school, graduated in the top 10% of my class at Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. But I did a lot of volunteer work and a lot of preceptorships at the Wake Forest Medical School. And all the doctors said, you know, we know you're smart enough, but we don't think you're going to learn the stuff that you want to learn if you go, you know, to medical school here or wherever. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, my first year of college, my dorm was right by the gym, so I was like, okay, I can't really make excuses anymore not to go to the gym. And so I got into exercise and nutrition, and I majored actually in health and exercise science at Wake Forest, which is one of only five programs where you're able to dissect a human cadaver, because we have a medical school there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's quite different than your typical health and exercise science. You know, we focused on physiology and biochemistry.
Yeah.
And what I found
here.
What's that? And
I've got a friend that does some of that here, teaches the dissections and stuff.
Yeah. It can get a little smelly during the summer and the spring. But, we're always grateful for people that dedicate their bodies to science so that students can learn and that we mm-hmm. can continue to help people. And so I was burning the candle at both ends. I was one of a handful of people that got a 4.0 GPA for 2 years in a row at Wake Forest. I was a tutor. I was an RA. I had a couple other side jobs, you name it. And during the Christmas break of my senior year, basically the orthodontist, I had braces at the time, and the oral surgeon, they scared me into having surgery, and they said, you know, if you continue down this path, you're not going to have any teeth left by the time you're 30, which was completely false and bogus. Huh. And it's a scare tactic, basically.
Yeah.
And the surgery did nothing, but I was under anesthesia for over 8 hours. It should have only been 3 to 3.5, but I found out later on. And so I'm assuming the surgeon went to Mexico or something during the middle of surgery, or took a vacation somewhere.
Yeah.
But what people fail to understand is that, you know, when you're under anesthesia, you don't have muscle tone. Well, as soon as the anesthesia wears off, your muscle tone kicks in, so your alignment changes again. So if your alignment is perfect while you're under anesthesia, it doesn't mean it's going to remain that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd also had mono and that fall semester, and the doctors really wanted me to take the semester off. But being the type A person that I am, I didn't listen. But then when, having mono on top of the surgery, the surgeon, he was completely clueless. He didn't even test for the Epstein-Barr virus to see if it was active still. And, I was supposed to enter medical school, regular MD school the next fall, and I had to put it off because, I just couldn't think straight. Couldn't function. I was tired all the time. Severe brain fog, insomnia, exercise intolerance. And so I moved back home with my parents and just kind of hung out for about a year, year and a half. Because at that time, now functional medicine is popular. At that time, I don't even remember hearing the term functional medicine. It was just all, either allopathic or alternative medicine.
Yeah.
And so I finally found an ENT who had been practicing for like 30-something years who diagnosed me with candida and heavy metals, and that's what got me started down the functional medicine path. And certainly I had those things, but there, I tell people, and this is why I offer my Heal Your Body program, every symptom or syndrome that someone presents with or has, you have to work on it in layers. You can't try to go after everything at once because the body just can't deal with it. You have to build someone up and stabilize them first. One of my mentors is Dr. Kendall Stewart, who's an MD, ENT, and he says, the analogy is, if a 90-year-old's going to go to surgery, am I going to just go in and do surgery? No. I'm going to send her to you first to do some orthopedic rehab and strengthening and conditioning, and then we'll do surgery.
Yeah.
So that's where, a lot of people go wrong. They're already unstable and unwell, and then they, get whacked with a surgery or a car accident. And usually the last stressor that causes their, what I call bucket, the spillover, is the stressor that they associate with their illness. So they'll, patients that come to me, clients that come to me, they'll say, oh, this is what's wrong. This is what happened. And they're right. That did happen, and that did contribute. But there's multiple layers of other factors that contribute as well. And that's why if you look at the functional medicine model, there's about 12 to 14 different factors that affect someone's phenotype or their gene expression, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is no school that you can go to learn the stuff that I'm going to be talking about today. You certainly do learn a little bit in naturopathic school, but as an aside, I have several patients who are naturopaths, and they say, that's my free ebook, which we'll talk about later, is called Beyond Green Allopathy. And green allopathy is a term, I'm not sure who actually developed it, but it simply means that if you came to me as a patient, you were on, say, 9 medications. I just replaced those 9 medications with 9 supplements.
Right.
And that's not functional medicine. That's not getting to the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, that's not any better.
Right.
They criticize the medical doctors for doing the same thing they're doing. But what people fail to understand, and I was just reviewing some studies last night on some protozoal infections, certain herbal compounds are stronger than antibiotic compounds when it comes to eradicating those pathogens.
Yeah.
Just because something, is a nutraceutical doesn't mean it's weak, and just because it's a prescription doesn't make it super strong. I got into it, functional medicine. At that time there were no Facebook functional medicine study groups. I spent a lot of time in the library, the bookstore, shadowing different providers, acupuncturists, medical doctors, osteopathic doctors, and just learning different modalities. And, I took, you know, one or two things from this person, three or four things from this person, and kind of put it together into my own little package. And what I found, you know, inevitably, and I still see this a lot, is that, you know, people tend to hyper-focus on one area.
Uh-huh.
And the most common question I get from clients is, you know, is A causing B? And so I have to, you know, get them to change their way of thinking.
Yeah.
And, you know, approach it more from a standpoint of, is A contributing B? Because, you know, if we have symptom A, there's going to be probably five or six factors that are affecting it and impacting it. And
yeah.
So, you know, we have to address all of those. A lot of times people just throw a whole bunch of supplements at you. But, you know, you want to approach it in a certain hierarchy. You know, if you've taken psychology, you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Mm-hmm.
The body sort of has the same thing in terms of gut health, adrenal health, thyroid health. So there's a certain the take home message for your listeners is that there's a certain order that things must be done in. There's a rhyme and a reason. And, you know, like, for example, it's in vogue right now, you know, all these hormone replacement clinics popping up, because there's a lot of money to be made. And, doctors will just put you on high doses of, testosterone or estrogen or progesterone.
Yeah.
And, yep, looking at the other hormones that are further up the chain. And you can really do a lot of damage. Not only will you not feel the effects, but you can do a lot of damage to someone, you know, when you skip those appropriate steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times people think that, you know, maybe I'm skipping something or forgetting something, but, you know, I try to constantly remind them that, no, I'm not forgetting it. It's just all about timing,
yeah.
You know. You could be taking the right supplements, but maybe at the wrong time. Doesn't mean that supplement is bad. It just means it's not good for you right now.
Right. Like if somebody's in a car accident, you need to treat their broken bones before
right.
you treat the abrasions, the bruises or scrapes.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, yeah, I've learned most of my functional medicine that way, and then I'm lucky enough. Unfortunately, he moved to Spain, but Dr. Alex Vasquez is actually an osteopathic doctor, a naturopath, and a chiropractor. And he's pretty much been my mentor, and I've learned a lot of what I know from him. He puts out a lot of good information, and, you know, so I've learned from him. And fortunately today, you know, people are kind of spoiled. You know, they weren't around when I was beginning to learn this stuff about 13 or 14 years ago, and they just, you know, take a course online, which is great. I'm all for it because, you know, it really adds up if you have to pay for flights and hotels and meals.
Right.
And now you can get high quality information, lots of it, for a very reduced price, you know, at the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, and, you know, we're in the information age, so why not, you know, capitalize on the convenience of the Internet and be able to find information online and work with it. I was really bummed last night when I saw that Dr. Sebi passed. He was
yeah.
big in, in medicine being real simple. You know, not the mainstream
yeah.
medicine. He said he doesn't read any books because they don't help. They just condition
right.
you into somebody else's way of thinking, which is usually into that big whole system. So how could you talk about your studies and what you find most useful to learn about these systems and the functionality of the body that's beyond what's taught in our academic institutions?
Why don't I cover some things that your other guests probably didn't cover or didn't cover in detail?
Mm-hmm.
Some things that I focus on that, you know, what we call in this country, and I learned this from Dr. Kendall Stewart, autoimmune disorders or syndromes are really neuroimmune syndromes, meaning they affect the neurological system and the immunological or immune systems. And those neuroimmune disorders can be things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS. You tend to find a high pathogen load in those disorders.
Right.
Same thing with autism, certain types of cancer. And so one take-home message that, you know, I want your listeners to really understand is that when we talk about pathogens and viruses, you know, if I just say, oh, Jeremy has a virus, then they're going to picture in their mind you're laying on your couch, you know, with a Kleenex. You don't want to talk to anybody. You're not really hungry. You know, you can't sleep, or you want to sleep all the time. And that is certainly an acute expression of a viral infection. But viruses are technically parasites. They take their DNA and they incorporate it into our DNA double helix.
Huh.
So every time our cells replicate, the virus replicates. So viruses, they aren't trying to kill us because they need us in order to survive.
Yeah.
And with these neuroimmune syndromes, viruses, and I'll teach you this, and you'll know more than 99% of even probably functional medicine doctors out there. I learned it from Dr. Vasquez. And, you know, in our body, basically, to make it simple, we have five different immunoglobulins, which are just molecules that all have different functions, and they come in to the immune response at different times. So the IgG and the IgM are titers. You know, that's just the word for the measurement to things like Epstein-Barr virus, human herpes virus 6, mycoplasma, which is a bacteria that's a little bit unique in that it doesn't have a cell wall, parvovirus, Coxsackie B virus. And so I usually test the IgG titers and the IgM titers to those. And the common thinking, even amongst most functional practitioners and providers, is that if the IgM is elevated, you have a current infection that's active. But the truth of the matter is, if your IgM is normal and your IgG is high, you know, roughly 3 to 4 times the top of the range of the IgG levels, that means you have a currently active infection.
Okay.
And I can just tell you from clinical experience for the past 6 years that, you know, as people's levels, their numbers drop, the better they feel. Because what's happening is you're not feeling or experiencing the pathogen, you're experiencing the immune response.
Right.
And that immune response causes the release of molecules called cytokines. And I guarantee you, every one of your listeners knows cytokines very well, even if they don't know the word. So when you have a fever, or, you know, when you're achy, you know, or you have insomnia or a runny nose, those are cytokines. And your body produces pro-inflammatory cytokines and anti-inflammatory cytokines. And typically what happens is most of us have too many pro-inflammatory cytokines, and that creates a lot of oxidative stress in the body. And so with viruses specifically, you know, you technically can't kill a virus, but what you can do is optimize the terrain of the body, meaning, you know, getting rid of environmental toxicants, optimizing your hormones, your body temperature, that's very important. All of those things can help to lower the activity level of the different viruses. And viruses, sometimes they show up in blood, sometimes they don't. There's, you know, I don't want to get into really specific things, but there's a class of viruses that are called neurotrophic viruses. And that just means they like to live in the myelin sheath, that fatty sheath or fatty coating around our nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also get into the brain if we have a leaky blood-brain barrier. And that can cause brain fog, excess glutamate. It can lead ultimately to neurodegeneration.
Yeah.
So that's why if you look at the research on people with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, you'll see a strong correlation between those syndromes and viruses and other pathogens.
Right. So a leaky blood-brain barrier, what is it that causes that? I know that fluoride is able to go right on through and cause detrimental effects in the brain. And same with the aluminum oxide that's, you know, sprayed in the geoengineering. It goes right through into the brain and helps add to Alzheimer's, dementia, and autism, and all the various issues. What causes the leaky brain barrier or blood-brain barrier?
So if you have a leaky gut, eventually things are going to leak through that shouldn't leak through into the bloodstream. And that causes enough inflammation that it starts to kind of punch holes in the blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way. Another way is activated pathogens systemically, creating that inflammatory immune response we talked about.
Yeah.
Those cytokines, those pro-inflammatory molecules, they punch little holes in the blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that our listeners and followers probably don't know is that the blood-brain barrier, according to my neurosurgeon colleague, Dr. Cruz, isn't fully formed in kids until about age 4 to 5. So, you see these kids with iPads and laptops and EMFs. I mean, it affects everyone. But you take a child with a blood-brain barrier that's not formed, and you're creating a disaster. And they've done studies, correlating the amount of time a mother, an expecting mother spends on her computer or laptop or iPad or iPod, and, it's very strongly correlated to autism. Now, is that, you see in the newspaper, whether it's with autism or chronic fatigue, such and such causes this or such and such causes that. There is no one cause of anything except for pregnancy. Okay? So, that really irritates me. It's sort of the same thing like, even I think like 7 years ago, I had a nurse tell me there was no such thing as prediabetes. I said, oh, really? So you go from having perfect insulin levels one day, and then you just develop a disease overnight. Okay, that's good to know. So you can see how irrational the whole system is set up to think, but what I really emphasize with my clients is education, education, education.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I'm here for whenever they need me, but I want them to understand what we're doing because they're going to be more compliant, and they're going to inevitably one day encounter a novel situation and I'm not there, but if they have the background, they understand the concepts, they can, help deal with it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I heard on the first thing you said that what I heard was GMOs, because GMOs tend to be a big cause of a leaky gut, right?
Yep.
Basically turning our gut into a portable pesticide factory, and on top of that, preventing our bodies from being able to uptake the nutrients and minerals from the food that we eat.
And if you look there, most of your listeners are probably familiar with the lab Metametrics. They have a visual little graph in the bottom left-hand corner on the first page that shows the diversity of your microbiome. And, almost everyone I see, I'd say probably 90% of the people I see are at the very bottom due to, glyphosate. That significantly decreases the diversity of your gut microbiome.
That's in Roundup, big pesticide.
Yeah, artificial sweeteners, antibiotics, all those things. And so,
soft drinks.
Yeah, the traditional thinking, depending on which studies you read, I've read anywhere from 20,000 to around 28,000 different species of good bacteria should be in our large intestines.
Wow.
And so when we take a probiotic supplement, you know, even something like Prescriptocyst, it only has, I think, 29 species of good bacteria. So it's kind of like you and I getting in a boat and going out into the ocean and pouring a cup of water in it, you know, when we take a probiotic. A lot of people are confused partly because of commercials with people like Aaron Anderson saying, oh, just take, you have gut issues, take probiotics. But, you know, there's a product, and I have no connection whatsoever. So I'll mention the name of it. It's called Restore. And Dr. Zach Bush came up with it. Contains minerals and some nutrients to help feed and flourish the good bacteria in the body. So instead of, you know, taking a few species here and a few species there, you know, it's better off to try and provide an environment that's conducive to overall diversity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where, you know, antibiotics, you know, most of them, it's kind of like using a cannon to kill a mosquito. You know?
Right. So are you a proponent of probiotic foods like kombucha and kefir and sauerkraut and pickled veggies?
You got to be very careful, and this is where, so, you know, I think I mentioned in the our talk earlier that, you know, I tend to tick off a lot of the MDs. Well, I tend to do the same thing with the NDs because, let's think about this. You know, if you cut your forearm, you're going to want to put an antiseptic on it and then put a Band-Aid or some sort of bandage on it to prevent pathogens from getting in there, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a leaky gut and you take probiotics or probiotic foods like kombucha and stuff like that, it's going to go through the gut barrier into the bloodstream and create, I don't know if I used this term earlier, cytokine storms or a cytokine storm. And it can actually, in severe cases, induce an autoimmune reaction.
Huh.
So, you know, it's no different than a cut anywhere else on your body, right?
Yeah.
You know, you want to heal that first, then you can take the probiotics.
Right. Wow.
And so people don't really get that. And, I mean, there's studies, plenty of studies to back that up. And, I mean, it's just, you know, you and I were discussing evidence-based medicine. Well, you know, that's one of the pitfalls of it. People tend to stop thinking for themselves, and they just kind of parrot what everyone else is saying without just stopping for a second and saying, does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to be careful with the, especially in people who have immune imbalances, which are a lot of people today, or, you know, you can really create an inflammatory cascade. And that's why people, you know, you'll hear people say, oh, I can't tolerate the, you know, kombucha or other foods that you mentioned, sauerkraut and things like that. But, you know, you want to always work on healing the gut mucosa first, sealing off the tight gap junctions, which are just the little ties that pull together the lining of the small intestine. And the product that I mentioned, Restore, and again, I have no connection to it whatsoever. It's just, it's the only product of its kind on the market, meaning that it's not giving you good bacterial species. It's just providing a fuel source. And, you know, it does that, and it works via another mechanism whereby it increases the height of the microvilli in the small intestines. And the microvilli are those little mountainous-looking compounds in the small intestines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason they're there is to increase the surface area so that we can absorb more of our food and nutrients and supplements. And so, you know, to answer your question, am I a fan of those things? Again, it comes down to timing. And it also comes down to sometimes whether a person has issues with histamine, because some of those foods and some of the probiotic species will stimulate a histamine response.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's all individualized. Like, you know, I get emails even from medical doctors asking me, you know, what's your protocol for this? And I say, I don't have one. Protocol is a four-letter word. And it really has to be because, you know, we'll talk about things like Lyme and mold toxicity. And everyone responds differently. You know, you can have 400 people out on a football field and they all have the same infection. They may all have completely different symptoms. It depends on the terrain of the body, hormone levels, stress levels, sleep cycle, you know, nutrient levels, all of those things.
Yeah, it's not just a simple one answer for everybody.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you kind of get this. I spent about $3,000 going to a course a couple of years ago, and the first day, you know, they kind of started out, oh, if your patient has digestive problems, you give them digestive enzymes. And I said, oh, boy, I hope I can get my money back. Because, I mean, you're just guessing. I mean, if you have gut issues, I mean, it could be that you're not making enough enzymes. It could be you don't have enough a good bacteria, that you have a parasite or protozoa, that you're not making enough bile, that you're not making enough stomach acid, that you don't have enough commensal bacteria. So, you know, stool tests, you know, they can be expensive, but in the end they can save you money because you won't be taking supplements that you don't need.
Right. Actually get a real read on what's going on instead of just, you know, a guess.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Here's another tip for your readers that will save them a lot of money, and that's stool testing. There's basically, to make it simple, two methods or two ways to test a stool sample. One is called a CDSA, which just stands for Comprehensive Digestive Stool Analysis. And what that does is it tries to culture the bugs from your large intestines, from your colon, in the lab. The problem with that method is that most of the bugs are anaerobic. So when they're exposed to ambient air with oxygen, they die off. And you get a false negative test result. Your results may come back and say, Jeremy is negative for, you know, H. pylori and this protozoa and this bacteria and this yeast, because the testing method that they're using, you know, the bugs are dead, so it can't detect them.
Yeah.
The accurate method for testing is called the PCR method. If someone wants to know what it stands for, it's polymerase chain reaction. But all it means is that they take a DNA probe and they go around the stool sample. And that's a lot more accurate because it doesn't matter if the bacteria or protozoa or infection is alive or dead. It'll still detect the DNA. And there's only two labs, to my knowledge, in the country that employ that method, maybe three. So, you know, a lot of people are out there, you know, basing their supplement regimens and their nutrition off of a test that doesn't provide accurate results. That's a big issue.
Wow. So a big part of
your bubble there, but
no, it's okay. No, because I've been curious. I went and saw somebody at one point about, you know, how to reduce the leaky gut if that's really what was going on. And what I noticed he was doing too was just giving me a quick one answer for everybody. Everybody's got leaky gut, so we'll first put you on this regimen and go through that, and then we can start doing some more after that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I don't know if I'm into that.
Right.
But it seems like one of the biggest themes is for people to get into educating themselves and taking the reins of their health into their own hands instead of trusting some medical doctor to give them the answers. There's a big difference between looking externally for the answers looking within ourselves or within our own experiences of what's going on. So taking on a more functional medicine mindset, right? A more holistic perspective. Is that something you do? Do you have resources that you give your patients to help educate them? How do you help them get on that path, or are they already on it when they come see you?
Yeah, I was actually having this conversation with a pioneer in the whole functional medicine field. He's been practicing for a little over 28 years yesterday, and we were talking because we tend to get, you know, the most complex patients, and it keeps us on our toes. You should be constantly learning anyways, but especially with our population, because they're going to do their homework, so you better do yours. And, I'm on this summit. I was on the supplement summit. I do a ton of guest blogs. I write for my own website. I write for the Huffington Post. So I have a document that I send to people with those links. I tell them just, you know, don't feel the need to listen to or read all of them. You know, just pick one or two. That's all you can take and try to understand those, because for me, it's easy to condense, you know, basically 14 years of study into a couple hours. But I have to remember that, you know, most people aren't doing this all day, every day.
Right.
And so, you know, I give them those documents and they can read that along with the free ebook that you're going to post, I think, for your tribe, that kind of summarizes a lot of different areas. And, because if you look around the functional medicine and alternative medicine communities, you know, you'll have a group of people that say, oh, everything is due to heavy metals. Another group says everything is due to candida. Another group says everything is due to gut problems. Another group says everything is due to viruses. And the truth of the matter is that they are all contributing factors.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I tell people, you know, I want you to have a paradigm shift in how you think, because if you carry that allopathic model of thinking over to functional medicine, you're going to be constantly frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And so it varies. Like I had a consultation with a lady a little over a month ago who was about to turn 80, and boy, was she sharp. I mean, she was on her toes. I mean, you could tell she was a real go-getter, and, you know, she didn't expect anyone to give her anything. She was, you know, researching stuff on her own, and, you know, I really appreciate people like that. A lot of doctors get offended. I don't. I'm like, hey, you did some research. That means I can get off a little bit earlier today. I don't have to spend as much time on PubMed. people don't realize it, and the people that are in this field, I mean, some study, I don't want to batten off all of them, but a lot don't, but I study 2 hours every day, or it averages out to be 2 hours every day, because then we no longer have a paucity of information, it's sorting through what's good and what's bad,
yeah.
And traditional medicine has tried to brainwash people, and they've pretty much been successful at it, that the newest research is the best research. And it has nothing to do with the chronology of it. I don't care if the research was done in 1825. What matters is how the study was designed, the subjects that were used, and, the methodologies that were used. And so, you know, that's another thing where, you know, the whole evidence-based medicine people, you know, they basically just, they want people to parrot and regurgitate whatever they say, but the New England Journal of Medicine and I think the British Medical Journal both came out and blatantly said evidence-based medicine is dead, because, you know, if you look at a medical school textbook, like if you look at one of my textbooks on the inside cover, it'll say sponsored by Pfizer, sponsored by Merck.
Right.
So you're learning what they want you to learn.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why most of the good research that I get my hands on is from Europe or Australia or Canada because it's less influenced by financial interests.
Yeah. Yes, there a centralized or maybe decentralized repository of studies from around the world? Because isn't PubMed mostly the U.S.?
Yeah, not only is it just the U.S., they conveniently exclude from their catalog of journals a lot of the integrated medicine journals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll look it up and send it to you so your readers can have it.
Okay.
But it's a search engine that includes the studies from PubMed, but it also includes the integrated medicine studies. And, you know, a lot of people think that, there's not a study to back this up just because they haven't heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
But just because they haven't read it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, there's no one can, you know, keep on top of all the literature. That's why, you know, you have conferences that kind of summarize things and help you to get on the right track or path of thinking for different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get several calls a week asking me what I specialize in, and they think I'm being a smart aleck, and I say nothing. But I'm really telling the truth because you really have to know all the systems of the body, because if you go tinkering with one, either directly or indirectly, it's going to affect the others. And if you don't know how it's going to affect them, you know, you can really hurt someone. A friend of mine, there was a chiropractor. Not that the chiropractor profession mattered, but this lady, he put this female patient on a detox program while she was breastfeeding. And the baby turned blue and blackish.
Oh,
had
no.
to go to the emergency room. So, yeah, you really have to know what you're doing. I mean, you can't just throw supplements at people. One of my clients, who's actually a medical doctor, I actually had to tell him that you can't take this supplement and this medicine together. And prior to seeing me, he had seen an MD for a three-hour visit, and it was like $6,000, I think.
Huh.
And so, you know, when people ask me, oh, well, why don't you go get your MD? I'm like, because I can't listen to lies all day. And even when I went through my doctor program, you know, I would circle the answer that I knew they thought was the right answer,
uh-huh.
but then I would put a little star to the side and say, this is really incorrect based on this, this, and this. Because, I mean, a lot of times, you know, I mean, sure, there are bad doctors, but a lot of times it's benign neglect. They really and truly believe what they're doing is right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the same for our political system as well.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, it's so intertwined. I mean, the political system with the medical system and the insurance industry, I mean, the Europeans really, you know, laugh at us because we pay so much per month, and then when we try to use it, we can't, or it won't pay for the stuff that actually works. You know, if the insurance companies would sit down, look at the numbers, they would save millions, if not billions, by doing preventative care and functional medicine.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. So, So what would you say is the best best way for someone to get an evaluation, like an initial evaluation on where their health currently is? Because, you know, there's a whole range of answers that various people might give, right? Different tests, different indicators. What would you say would be the best way for someone to begin to get an evaluation?
Yeah, so that's what kind of one of the things. Well, okay, if I actually did find something that I specialize in. It's helping people recognize bogus tests. Because there's unfortunately a lot of labs out there that will be more than happy to take your $700 or $800.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example. So saliva testing is accurate for cortisol and DHEA.
Mm-hmm.
It is not accurate for sex hormones like testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. The reason I know is because I did it for about 5 or 6 months, I had all my female clients calling me up, freaking out, like, what's going on with my hormones? What's wrong with my levels? And so then I said, okay, well, let's do a 24-hour urine hormone panel. And then we would get, you know, a completely different result. So, you know, the take-home message is that, you know, a lot of times I save people a lot of money because I do get a good number of clients that come to me that have had up to $10,000 worth of lab testing.
Wow.
And I'll say, okay, what's the doctor or the provider or practitioner who ordered it, what was their analysis? And they said, oh, they said I was good. And I look at it, and I'm like, you ain't good. Like, they just don't know how to read the test.
Right.
And I think they ordered the test because it makes them feel like they're entrenched in the functional medicine model.
Uh-huh.
But it's not about how many tests you order. I was telling a client this yesterday. It's how much information you can extract from one test.
Yeah.
Or two tests. And
be able to determine some of the possible causes and how best to maybe rebalance out whatever's looking to be off, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, the way I start out, whether I have – I mean, I work with everyone from some pro athletes to kids on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, the dosage may be different, the timing may be different, but at the bottom of that pyramid, we start with the gut, the adrenals, and the thyroid. Because no matter whether you're trying to be an Olympic athlete or you just want to have more energy to spend with your family and friends or participate in hobbies and exercise, you know, you got to have an optimal adrenal system, HPA axis, thyroid axis, and a healthy gut. So, you know, I tell people, you know, in the beginning, we're going to work on those things. And, you know, I give them the correct test, or I have the lab send them the correct test, and we measure those things. And then based on the results, you know, I'll make recommendations or suggestions. And, you know, everyone's going to be different in terms of, you know, how fast they progress, what kind of results they see. A lot of times I work with a lot of clients who are very sensitive to things. You know, some of them have multiple chemical sensitivities. Some of them are just highly, their immune system is upregulated.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those people, we have to go really slow. And I always add in one supplement at a time. And in the beginning, I like to use individualized nutrients. So I might use vitamin B2 by itself or curcumin by itself. That way we can determine cause and effect, because if I give you a nutraceutical and it has 14 different nutrients in it and you feel great when you take it, I don't know which one of those nutrients is helping or which two or
great.
Which three.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the beginning, we add in one at a time. If that's well tolerated, you know, then we move on and add in the next one and continue on the first one, et cetera. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about, you know, being on a lot of supplements. In the beginning, especially people with chronic issues that have had them for a while, they may need a fair number of supplements. But at the end of the day, you know, when it's all said and done, and a lot of functional medicine doctors will, you'll hear them repeat this, most people, even, you know, without any symptoms or syndromes, need about four supplements. You know, you can say magnesium, fish oil, probably some probiotics occasionally, zinc, second most common mineral deficiency. So, you know, and then you can rotate as well. You know, you can test. I tell people, whether you have symptoms or not, to do some basic blood testing or urine testing twice a year.
Yeah.
So in order to get an initial evaluation with someone like myself, we would sit down and we would talk about, okay, what your goals are, your top three goals, your top three symptoms, what you've done so far to address them, what helped, what didn't help, what supplements and meds they're currently on. And some people come to me and they literally have like almost 100 pages of lab work. Other people, occasionally, this is rare, will come to me and they have done no lab work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you mentioned leaky gut earlier. Leaky gut, it's not something I test for because mm-hmm. by the time you pay for the test, you could have already just treated it.
Right.
However, most people don't understand that it's a bidirectional pathway, meaning that, yes, if you fix the leaky gut, it will help things. But if you have elevated systemic inflammation, like those elevated cytokines molecules, those elevated mm-hmm. Pro-inflammatory molecules, mm-hmm. they can punch holes in the gut. So it can go either way. And that's why, you know, people, you know, the saying that's kind of popular, if you heal the gut, you'll heal the body. That's not true. I mean, certainly it goes a long way towards healing the body, and you need to heal it, but, you know, you can have other issues, like, for example, low glutathione levels, glutathione being one of our most important antioxidants in the body. If levels of that antioxidant are low, it's hard to maintain a healthy gut lining. So, you know, that kind of goes against the grain a little bit, too.
Right.
But, you know, I've developed over, you know, the past 6 years really kind of a hierarchy how I do things versus just kind of, okay, let's do this test. Oh, now let's do this test. Oh, let's do this test. Because, for example, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, I do the adrenal and thyroid test together because a lot of people will, and providers will just test thyroid hormone levels, and if they're low, they'll prescribe thyroid hormone.
Yeah.
But if their adrenal hormones are low, they can't tolerate that level of metabolism, and they can go into atrial fibrillation, premature ventricular contractions, chest pain. I used to work with a nurse practitioner. She would have people on very, very large doses of thyroid hormone without ever looking at their adrenal hormones. And so a lot of times, if you optimize the adrenal hormones, you may not need thyroid hormone, or you may need a much smaller dose.
Right.
So that's why, you know, I've developed kind of that hierarchy.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll just throw out another test. People will ask about food sensitivity testing. Well, one, there's major issues with the accuracy of it. I'll tell you a quick anecdote. An MD colleague of mine, he drew blood from a female patient, two tubes, put her real name on one and a fake name on the other, and the results came back completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So there's issues with accuracy, and there's actually only one lab that tests foods in the raw form and the cooked form. And again, I have no connection to this lab, but it's C-Rex Labs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's, but that's a low-hanging fruit test. You know, if I just took someone that I'm just starting to work with and we tested their sensitivities,
mm-hmm.
all it would do is stress them out because, you know, they're going to have leaky gut, their immune system is probably going to be regulated, and it's just going to stress them out and be counterproductive. So we work on gut health, optimizing the microbiome, stomach acid levels, bile levels, bile salt levels, pancreatic enzymes, healing the leaky gut. And then down the road, you know, if you want to test for food sensitivities, you can.
Okay.
But that's one of the lower priority tests because, you know, if you with these other issues, you normally won't have to you know, deal with food sensitivity testing because it can get pretty expensive. And as I mentioned, there are issues with the accuracy of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about the immune system. What can you tell us about the immune system that people don't typically know?
Well, inflammation. Well, first of all, if you have, most people don't realize that inflammation and the immune system are really one and the same. So when you have inflammation, that's an immune reaction. And in the acute phase, you know, in the short term, that's awesome. We need it to be turned on so that we can protect our body from invading pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when it stays on, even at low levels, for long periods of time, that's where you get, and this is just a $64,000 phrase, but I'll say it because people will probably hear it, cytokine-induced sickness behavior. And when I described you, you know, earlier laying on the couch with a bowl of soup and Kleenex and, you know, not wanting to socialize, that's cytokine-induced sickness behavior. Your body is attempting to conserve energy to help you heal and fight the pathogen. So your energy resources in ATP, your energy currency, are not going to be going to, you know, musculoskeletal contractions. You're not going to feel like working out. So, you know, the immune system can become imbalanced by a number of ways. We come into the world, I was reading a presentation last night, immune imbalanced already because they did a study, and it was either 8 or 9 cities in the U.S. They looked at umbilical cords, and they averaged between 250 and 300 known carcinogens in each umbilical cord.
Wow.
Then we pound them with way more vaccines than an adult should even be able to handle.
And then
we wipe out their gut floor with antibiotics. Right. And then we ask the question, well, why are we sick?
Yeah.
And I ask the question, why aren't we sick? You know, I mean, if I were going to take someone and, you know, make them sick, that's pretty much what I would do.
Yeah.
And so the immune system, as far as balancing it goes, you know, there's, you probably heard of TH1 and TH2. It stands for T helper 1 and T helper 2. And, you know, this, we have a bazillion different types of immune cells that do different things. And, you know, you can measure different ones. And then there's a few specialty labs where you can measure not just the number of the immune cells, but their activity levels. And this is just a little sidebar, just to kind of plant this seed in your tribe, in your listeners' minds. But if your mitochondria, the batteries of your cells, are not making enough energy, that not making enough ATP, all your systems begin to malfunction, especially your immune function. Your immune system requires a good amount of energy to be able to fight pathogens.
Yeah, mitochondria are really important, and they're also something that typically aren't functioning at the optimal levels, right?
Oh, man, I could talk for 5 or 6 hours on this. My mentor, he created an information product on the mitochondria. I think he calls it mitochondrial medicine, but it's by Dr. Alex Vasquez. And there are so many different things that can cause it. I'll just give you a quick example. He calls it a microbial mitochondropathy, meaning that a pathogen, like a virus or a bacteria, is creating an inflammatory response. And those inflammatory compounds are harming the mitochondria. The mitochondria are extremely sensitive to free radicals and oxidative stress. And normally what should happen is glutathione, that antioxidant I mentioned earlier, and another antioxidant, it's abbreviated SOD, stands for superoxide dismutase. Those two guys, they're supposed to sit in front of your mitochondria. And when the free radicals try to attack the mitochondria, they take the bullet. They take the hit for the mitochondria. You can have certain genetic hiccups where you don't make enough glutathione or superoxide dismutase, and that can make the mitochondria more susceptible to damage. Environmental toxicants can also damage the mitochondria, certain toxic metals. But yeah, you know, if we could write out on the whiteboard, you know, every syndrome known to man and what's the common denominator amongst all of them, it's mitochondrial dysfunction.
Right.
And, you know, we want to protect the mitochondria. Most people think when, they're thinking of mitochondria, they think, oh, I'm going to take CoQ10 and L-carnitine and maybe alpha-lipoic acid. But you really have to approach it from several ways. That's one way. Another way is building up your antioxidant levels, mm-hmm. like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And the third way would be healing the mitochondrial membranes. So mitochondria have an inner membrane and an outer membrane, and there are certain phospholipid complexes that you can take to help it's really rehabilitation of the mitochondria to help them function better.
Yeah.
Because not only are they getting bombarded by, say, inflammation from pathogens, they create their own inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting kind of a double whammy.
Oh, wow.
And so they're extremely sensitive to oxidative stress, and that's why we really have to take care of those guys, because if we can get those guys functioning, you know, every system in the body will improve in terms of efficiency.
Yeah. So what would you say what are some steps we could all take today that would help improve our immune system, especially if there's any tips that aren't obvious to most people?
Yeah, one would be have your home tested for mold.
Mm-hmm.
Mold is one of the things I specialize in. I started studying it in 2009 per the recommendation of one of my MD mentors, and it turned out that there's 25% of the population will have one form or another of a certain genotype where you can't detoxify mycotoxins, which are toxins produced by mold.
Yeah.
And there's five different levels. I have the worst level, which Dr. Shoemaker, who's the main mold guy, who kind of brought all this to light. But I have the dreaded genotype. And that means this is separate from a mold allergy. You can have a mold allergy and have this, but you can have either one by itself. And so what happens is, you know, let's say we have 100 people in a room or an auditorium. Well, 75 are fine. They don't feel anything. The other 25 are like, oh, I feel so bad. I have brain fog. I can't think. I'm tired, dizzy. And that's the 25% that has one of those five different genotypes where you can't detoxify mold, and so it builds up in the gallbladder and liver, and it's very immunosuppressive.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place it goes when it gets into your body and then goes into the cell is, guess where? The mitochondria.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and people today really don't understand mold. They think that you have to see black mold and smell it to have mold, but actually
right.
newer homes are a lot of times more problematic than older homes because they make them to be so energy efficient, it leaves only a handful of species remaining, and so there's not a lot of competition between the different mold species. And so you get just a few that grow out of control. So, you know, I have clients with million-dollar homes that test positive, you know, for high levels of mold. You know, Suzanne Summers' most recent book that came out, she talks about mold toxicity. And a lot of people don't realize it because what are they called? Contractors, construction contractors. They can take shortcuts because a lot of people don't know about mold. So they're not required to tell you. And so, you know, that's a huge issue with the mold. You know, the two tests, and I can send them to you and you can post them. One's called an ERMI, capital ERMI, and one's called a Hertz Me. Capital HERTSMI-2, and that is they're both good tests. They test your home for mold, but the take home message is a couple of take home messages here for your listeners. Number one, don't use the test from Home Depot and Lowe's. They're worthless. It's a waste of your money. You're going to waste your money. You know, donate to a charity or something. And number two, you have to interpret the results of those tests that I mentioned in context with your genetics. so, you know, like when I did my test, it was okay. The levels were right in the middle, and that's fine for people who don't have a genetic hiccup where they can't detox. But for me, it needed to be much lower because, you know, the levels are going to build up and build up, and it disrupts literally every system in the body, from hormones to, you know, neurotransmitters, and actually it decreases blood flow to the frontal lobe. So if you look at MRIs of patients and clients with mold exposure and clients with MS, you can't tell the difference. They look almost the same.
Wow.
And so mold, again, you know, you want to test for it. And then, you know, if I don't want to get into too much detail, but there are proper ways to remediate your home, and there are improper ways. There are a lot of people out there looking to make a lot of money, and kind of they'll just say, oh, let's tear everything down. And so, you know, you have to kind of ask around and talk to people and find someone with a good reputation, you know, that's going to be honest and say, okay, yeah, this doesn't need to be taken down. This does. And I bring up the mold because it kind of segues into something else I wanted to talk about. Mold and then EMS. So those are two things that we can't see, but they're having a huge effect on our physiology.
Yeah. Can you talk a little more about the EMS real quick? I know that that's, from a lot of what I've learned, it's the huge elephant in the room. You know, we keep seeing all these cell towers going up, and it's like, well, you know, my cell phone doesn't seem to have better reception than it did 10 years ago. Why do we need all these new towers and all this stuff going on? And then there, I've seen studies that show that there's a huge increase of cancer within a quarter mile or so of these cell phone towers. And I know in town they're all over the place, so it's hard to get further than a quarter or half a mile from those. But anyway, go ahead. And the Bioinitiative report, you know, shows a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the studies due to, you know, we talked about politics a little bit. The cell phone industry, you know, they pay enough money to the representatives to have the negative effects hidden. And if you're a scientist and you, you know, perform a study that shows negative effects, you know, kind of like the scientists that studied Monsanto and Roundup, you can get fired. So basically they're cooking the books.
Yeah.
Legally, if you call, like, for example, a pharmaceutical company, they have to tell you about every study they've done, not just the positive ones. But on TV, they're not required to tell you about the negative ones. They can tell you whatever they want. But the EMS, so EMS, you know, would be things like Wi-Fi, you know, laptops, iPads, iPods, smart meters, all of those things. And at the core that, you know, today a lot of what we talked about has been, you know, biochemistry. But at our core, we're really bioelectric and biophysical beings, meaning that electrons and protons drive our physiology. And in fact, that's what happens at the end of the production of ATP, of the our energy currency, is you get, you know, proton pumps moving. And so, you know, it's important to know about those. Smart meters, you know, I'm not sure how this is even remotely legal, but, you know, they just kind of went around slapping them on people's houses without an informed consent. And I know at my parents' house when they called and tried to have the smart meter replaced with an analog meter, they said, no, we don't even have any analog meters left. Well, the truth is they probably do. You have to be aggressive with them and have a doctor or some medical professional write a letter.
And they like to try and say that they'll have to charge you another $50 a month for someone to come out and read it.
Oh, heaven forbid that they get out of their air-conditioned truck for 5 minutes.
Well, it's not that. You know? It's more the system that's been set up to prevent us from being able to change what's going on, what their program is.
And this ties directly into the mold and the other pathogens we talked about, the viruses. According, you may have heard of Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt. He's an MD, PhD, and he says that EMF waves send signals to mold to produce more mycotoxins and more potent mycotoxins.
Oh, wow.
And it sends signals to viruses and other pathogens to reproduce more. You know,
yeah,
it's kind of like
the disharmonious frequencies. So that goes into another conspiracy theory. But if you look at the chart and the different frequencies that have been selected by the FAA, or is it FAA that I'm thinking? The one that reserves all the frequency designations. And a lot of those frequencies that are used in common, like by cell phones and radio, TV, and stuff, are disharmonic frequencies that disrupt the body's energy systems. And why would they do that instead of using like harmonious frequencies that are good for us? But that's all I'm talking
about. I mean, we could go on all day. It's kind of like they climb to the top of the stupid tree and hit every branch on the way down.
Yeah.
I mean that in the nicest way possible, but I mean, you know, if you stop and think, I mean, just use some common sense. I mean, there's a town, you probably know about this, in West Virginia, where they don't have Wi-Fi, and it's not because they're trying to be nice and help people out. It's because the government does some sort of research there where they can't have EMS and Wi-Fi. And so people that are very sensitive to EMFs are all flocking there.
Oh, bad.
And it's kind of upsetting you know, the townspeople and the researchers there. But, I mean, someone posted, and this was a while back, I saw it a couple times, a meme on Facebook of what the environment would look like if we could actually see the EMFs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary. I mean, there's a reason that here's a stat that'll scare you. I'm not trying to, you know, scare people, but it's just a fact.
Yeah.
Before cops had their radar guns mounted on their dashboards, they held them in between their legs.
Hmm.
And there was a 600% increase in testicular cancer.
Wow.
And so if you look at kids, too, and adults, actually, the side that they hold their cell phone on, that's the side they get brain cancer on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been some studies, most of which should have been highly suppressed, that show a lot of this stuff. So, anyway, we're getting a little long on time. So, a little more here to tie this up. So, could you tell us, Tim, what... So you said you've got some naturopaths that you have as patients, and you know a lot of naturopaths know a lot of stuff, but you know even the naturopath schools only teach a certain curriculum, and like you said, that it's important for these practitioners that want to excel to really, really enhance their education outside of school and kind of build their own curriculum. But what I wanted to ask is, what could you explain to listeners that sets you apart from most doctors that they might be able to find in their local neighborhoods? Why would they want to work with you?
Well, a lot of reasons. I'll try to keep it short. Number one, like I said, I don't specialize or hyper focus in one area because, you know, again, if we tinker with you know, one hormone, it's going to affect other hormones. It can affect your gallbladder, the rate at which you have bowel movements, all sorts of things. So, you know, I work with everyone from pro athletes who are looking to extend their career, recover from injury quicker, optimize their performance, to kids with autism, to adults with cancer and neuroimmune disorders. And so, you know, all those things that, you know, we didn't really go through in a particular order, you know, factor into someone's health.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, if we had, say, 400 people on a football field, you know, they may have all have the same disorder, but the symptoms may be slightly different.
Yeah.
And so you have to play detective. You know, sometimes you'll start at the base of the pyramid and start working on different variables, and you'll find that a lot of other things above it correct themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, then you can say, okay, well, we don't need to test this, or we don't need to do, you know, take this supplement, et cetera. I find myself, I'm definitely not what I mentioned earlier, a green owl path where, you know, you come to me and you're like, oh, my stomach hurts. And I'll say, oh, Jeremy, here's a probiotic. And it might cause an autoimmune reaction, but here's a probiotic. And I'm being a little bit facetious, but someone needs to be hard on them because we got to get this right. You know, you can't stand to get half of it right or three quarters of it right. We got to get it all right. And I specialize, you know, in how all the systems interact, which I know that's kind of cliche. Everybody says that. But, you know, like, for example, with mold, you know, has affected me personally a great deal and professionally. And I know all the downstream effects it has. I know, you know, I treated a figure competitor when I worked in North Carolina, and she had almost like a 1 or 2 year old home. Within, she had a leak, and within, I think, a few days, she gained 15 pounds because of the inflammation. So you got to know, I mean, most people don't look at things like EMFs, mold, chronic infections, or if they do, they don't understand how to interpret the test properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then they order more tests and more tests. And my biggest kind of claim to fame is that I take tests and I know how to read between the lines. I understand that normal is not optimal. Normal is Homer Simpson.
Right.
I don't want to be, you know. And so, you know, I try to connect all those dots for people. And, you know, I tell them, please, you know, whatever you do, don't walk away feeling like you have all these separate issues or problems. It's really just different aspects of the same problem, you know, that are feeding and manifesting, you know, your symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think I do a good job of really connecting the dots. You know, if I had to give a quote that I hear the most from my clients, it's, I learned more in 1 hour than I have in the past 6 years.
Wow.
And that's why I developed my Heal Your Body program. It's because when I first started out, you know, I would just overwhelm people with information. And it was coming from a good place. I wanted them to feel like they were getting their money's worth. But they would leave and, you know, they would feel like, oh, I got all this good information, but I don't know what to do with it. And so then they were just kind of stuck in a state of analysis, paralysis,
right.
Paralysis analysis. And so my Heal Your Body program, it allows us to work on things in layers since, I mean, you know, that's how the body needs to be treated anyways. If we tried to treat your gut, your adrenals, your thyroid, your hormones, your neurotransmitters, your viruses, your heavy metals all at once, you can imagine how you're going to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when your detox pathways are congested or not working optimally. So my Heal Your Body program, if you don't mind, I'll just describe it real quick.
Go for it, yeah.
It's an initial 1 hour to an hour.
To everyone listening, if you go to earthiswakingup.com/Tim, you can go down and click on the special offer button. That'll take you to his page, and you could follow through as he explains here. But go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, so my Heal Your Body program, which has really taken my practice to a new level, because neither myself nor my patients feel or clients feel that pressure to hurry up and get things done. Because we know we're going to see each other again. It makes you accountable. Makes me accountable to follow up, and it includes an initial hour to an hour and 10 minute consultation, and I review your history and your most recent labs prior to our consult. And then I type up some suggestions and send you those after the first consult. It includes 4 45-minute follow-ups, and as far as when you use those follow-ups, It's going to depend on you, what issues you're dealing with, and how well you tolerate certain supplements, how long you've had these issues. All those things are going to affect it. So, you know, I'll just give a quick example. One of my clients is a Silicon Valley CEO, and he wants to know every single detail of everything we do. And that's fine. I'm perfectly happy with that. But he used up all of his consults in 3 months. Hmm. So then after that, I let him kind of, you know, pay by consult. Hmm. But, you know, he's one of the type A people like myself, and, you know, you kind of want to know everything. And then it also includes 2 20-minute follow-ups along with 15 emailed questions. And it's the investment is 4 installments of $500. Mm-hmm. And I'm offering your listeners, your tribe, $150 off the program. And I think what you'll find is you won't find anyone more thorough. You know, we're going to look at all aspects, but at the same time, you know, we're going to try and use our resources intelligently so that we're not just blowing money on tests like food sensitivity tests in the very right. beginning.
Yeah. So for a lot of people, they might be wondering if you can work with insurance at all.
Yeah, so what happens is when people ask me if I take insurance, it's not that I don't take insurance. Insurance doesn't take me because what, and I'm not being facetious, but what happens, I'll give you an example. An MD colleague of mine who refers me some patients, she worked for a hospital group, you know, one of those outpatient facilities, you know, right by the hospital over in North Carolina. And, one of the insurance companies completely dropped her. So she couldn't see any patients who had that insurance. And the reason they dropped her was because, quote unquote, she was ordering too many unnecessary tests. And by that, we mean vitamin D, red blood cell, magnesium, you know, markers outside of the norm.
Right.
Which, you know, if we waited for your, you know, just regular blood work to be outside right. of the norm, we would be saying goodbye to you at the funeral home.
I have found the same thing. I would rather pay out of pocket for amazing care that actually works than to try and go through the insurance companies and the games that they play. I've learned the same thing with coupons.
Not only that. For example, one of the labs that I use for thyroid measurements, you can get a complete thyroid panel, cash price, $170.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to LabCorp, even if you haven't made your deductible, it can be up to $800 or more.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they mark them up incredibly high. So a lot of times you do better, you know, paying out of pocket. And, you know, because the labs, they don't like dealing with insurance companies any more than we do.
Yeah. Well, and so something else I really like about what you're offering here is, as well, is that this is something that can give us a true read on our health and where we're at and what we can do to improve that in a holistic way rather than, like you said, rather than just cramming some pharmaceuticals or some supplements or, you know, a quick fix that's a total guess that's not actually addressing what the body's really in need of.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if we mentioned it. I think we did mention it earlier, but I will occasionally do a one-time consultation with someone, and mm-hmm. I'm offering your tribe $50 off.
Yeah.
Initial one-hour consultation. The reason I don't like doing them is because you leave with some information, but you're not really sure where to go from there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you're not held accountable, then it's very easy to fall off the wagon, even for the best of, you know, even the most committed people.
Yeah.
And so, it puts a lot of pressure on me and the client and patient when, you know, I feel like, okay, I only have an hour and 10 minutes. I got to get all this information in there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And by working on things in layers, it allows us to better determine what's working and what's not, versus, you know, adding in 4 supplements at a time.
Yeah. Yep. Great. And I love also how you've got it broken down into you've got the hour initial consult, 4 45-minute follow-ups, 2 20-minute follow-ups, 15 emailed questions. What it looks like to me is it's a super reasonable cost and high value for what you're offering. And the knowledge and experience that you've got in there as well, outside of the mainstream practices. you've done a lot more of your own education so that you can actually help people instead of just giving a quick answer and moving on.
It's amazing what you can learn when you're faced with your own mortality.
Yeah.
I mean, to kind of summarize it, you know, the take-home message is that, you know, don't just think of the immune system as it's only active when, you know, we're exposed to a pathogen or a bug. You know, it's constantly active. When we have an injury, orthopedic injury, it's active. You know, when have a gut pathogen, it's active. When we're exposed to certain environmental chemicals, it skews the immune system either one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And your immune system should be able to shift between TH1 and TH2. And what happens typically is, you know, with all these environmental toxins and stress and things like that and GMOs, you know, it gets stuck in one avenue or one aspect of the immune system. And so then you end up not being able to fight the pathogens that you're supposed to fight. So I was saying you end up not being able to fight the pathogens that you were supposed to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so take home message is, the immune system, to quote Dr. Ty Vincent, I don't know if you heard of him, he's in Alaska. He said that if you fix the immune system, you'll fix a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah.
An example that I'll give you is that if you put someone on testosterone replacement therapy and they have a lot of inflammation from, say, viruses that are active and pathogens,
mm-hmm.
They won't, not only will they not experience the benefits of testosterone, the testosterone will metabolize more so into estrogen.
Oh, interesting.
So you can see how you can't just know one aspect of this and, you know, expect it. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Great.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I think that'll do for now, Tim. Thank you so much for educating yourself in all these areas that you have, and I think this is one of those things that a lot of people don't know or have been really seriously misled, because, you know, we're taught to believe that we can trust the doctors, trust the mainstream, you know, the hospitals. They wouldn't be there if we couldn't trust them. Somebody would stop it from, you know, being corrupt. But as we're learning more and more, we're surrounded by these systems that have been set up in such a way that favors the corporate world and the bottom line or profit.
One of my MD mentors, whose father was also an MD, mm-hmm. he said, Dr. Tim, I would stay as far away from traditional medicine as you possibly can.
Yep. That's what I've learned, too. I'd just rather not go.
Yeah.
Unless I break a bone.
It's interesting because, you know, for years they argued, oh, fish oil doesn't work. Omega-3 fatty acids don't work. Then they came out with one that they bill insurance like for $240 or $250. Oh, and look, suddenly fish oil works now. You know? Whereas, you know, you can get a high quality fish oil supplement for $40 or $45.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting, you know, how it doesn't work until they have their hands on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any more final words or?
I could talk about this all day.
If there was one major point for having to do with the immune system that you'd like the listeners to walk away with,
I would have your viral titers tested, your IgG and your IgM titers to the common viruses such as Epstein-Barr, monovirus, HHV6, which stands for human herpes virus 6, parvovirus, P-A-R-V-O virus, Coxsackie virus, C-O-X-S-A-C-K-I-E, and mycoplasma, which is not a virus, it's a stealth bacteria. And have someone with some training in functional medicine, specifically in neuroimmune disorders, interpret the test for you. Because I get people all the time that they bring me their test and they say, my doctor said the test results are fine.
Right.
And I look at the numbers and they're like, you know, six times the range.
Yeah. Not fine.
No, not at all.
All right.
Not at all.
Well, thanks again, right. Tim, for being on the show. Thanks to the listeners for tuning in and catching some talk, some information from somebody that has gone outside the box of the typical mainstream medicine and even mainstream naturopathy and shared some amazing knowledge with us and also is giving us a great offer to connect with him in a way that can hopefully improve our health in big ways. So if this is something that could be of benefit for you in your life, please check it out. Again, if you go to earthiswakingup.com/Tim, T-I-M, and go down and click on the special offer button, it'll show you the page with his offer. Blessings on your journey, your life journey, and your health, improving that, finding ways to keep your life positive and empowered. Take care and much love.
Thank you, guys.